通打开创世纪第三十五章。
Now let us turn to Genesis chapter 35.
从第一节开始来读。
From verse 1.
上帝对雅各说，起来，上伯特利去，住在那里，要在哪里筑一座坛给上帝，就是你逃避你哥哥以扫的时候向你显现的那位。雅各就对他家中的人并一切与他同在的人说，你们要除掉你们中间的外邦神，也要自洁更放衣裳，我们要起来上伯特利去，在哪里我要筑一座坛给上帝，就是我遭难的日子定应我的祷告，在我行的路上保佑我的那一位。他们就把外邦人的神像和他们耳朵上的幡子交给雅各，雅各都藏在示剑那里的橡树底下。他们便起行前往上帝使那周围城前的人都审这个经句，就不追赶雅各的众子了。于是雅各和他一切与他同在的人到了迦南地的路斯，就是伯特利，他们在那里筑了一座坛，就给那地方叫做伊勒伯特利，意思就是伯特利是上帝的意思，因为他逃避他哥哥的时候，上帝在那里向他显现。利伯家的乃母底波拉死了，就葬在伯特利下边橡树底下，那棵树叫做亚伦巴谷。雅各从巴旦亚兰回来，上帝又向他显现，赐福给他，且对他说，你的名原是雅各，从今以后不要再叫雅各，要叫以色列。这样他就改名叫以色列。上帝又对他说，我是全能的上帝，你要生养众多，将来有一族和多国的民从你而生，有君王从你而出。我所要赐给亚伯拉罕和以撒的地，我要赐给你与你的后裔。上帝就从那与雅各说话的地方升上去了。雅各便在那里立了一根石柱，在柱上奠酒浇油，雅各就给那地起名叫做伯特利。我们一同来读第三十五章后面的这两段。他们从伯特利起行，利以法他还有一段的路程，拉结临产，甚是艰难。正在艰难的时候，收生婆对他说，不要怕，你又要得一个儿子。他将近已死，灵魂要走的时候，就给他的儿子起名叫做便欧尼，他父亲却给他起名叫便雅敏。拉结死了，葬在以法他的路旁，以法他就是伯利恒。雅各在他坟上立了一桶牌，就是拉结的墓碑，到今日还在。以色列起行前往，在以德台那边是他帐篷。以色列住在那地的时候，流便去与他父亲的妾约拉同寝，以色列也听见了。雅各共有十二个儿子，利亚所生的是雅各的长子流便，还有西面、利未、犹大、以撒加、西布伦。拉结所生的是约瑟、便雅悯。拉结的使女毗拉所生的是但、拿弗他利。利亚的使女叙珀所生的是加德、亚瑟。这是雅各在巴旦亚兰所生的儿子。雅各来到他父亲以撒那里，到了基列亚巴的曼利，乃是亚伯拉罕和以撒寄居的地方。基列亚巴就是希伯伦。以撒共活了180岁。以撒年体老迈，日子满足，气绝而死，归到他列祖那里。他两个儿子以扫、雅各把他埋葬了。我们这一次低头祷告。
Let us pray。
主啊，你记下了这许多前人生活的细节，那这其中隐藏了许多我们人生应当明白的真理，应当学习的智慧，应当警惕的事件。我们感谢赞美你，求主你赐福今天的聚会，正如你过去赐福我们每一次的聚会一样。求主在这个聚会中间设立宝座，执掌王权，对我们的心说话，让我们从你的光照之下，从你话语的提醒中间得着你的教训，明白你的引导，听我们的祷告，感谢赞美，奉主耶稣基督得胜的名求你，阿们。我们上个礼拜提到了 一件很可怕的事情。
Last week we talked about a horrifying incident.
也就是每一个时代都可能发生在每一个家庭中间的事情。
Something that could happen to any family in any generation.
今天我们在报纸上，在新闻中间也会常常看到这一类的事情。
We can see such incidents in the newspaper and in the news we hear.
就是性的诱惑。
And the seduction of sex.
就是性的堕落。
And the decadence because of sex.
原先都不是存心要败坏。
In the beginning, people did not mean this to be.
起先不过是为了好奇。
Perhaps it started with curiosity.
为了要知道一些别人的生活。
To know about the lifestyle of others.
这样就把自己的容貌露现在外人的眼前。
And then they exposed them, their own beauty to others.
也就产生了不可收拾很可怕的结局。
And horrifying consequences will result.
我们基督徒要非常谨慎。
Christians need to be very cautious.
因为感情跟性的观念
，the concepts of our emotions and sexuality，
每一个民族是不一样的。
It's different from race to race.
不谨慎的时候
，if we are not careful，
那些放松性欲的民族
，the people or race that have decadent lifestyle，
就会用他们的自由把我们的贞洁把它拿掉了。
Well, then remove our purity because of their freedom.
以后就变成非常可怕、不可收拾的悲剧。
And then we will have tragedies that will come.
所以新约圣经告诉我们
，The New Testament says，
我们妇女应当有圣洁的装饰。
That all women should have holy, should be holy in the way they dress.
太过薄的衣服我们不要穿。
We are not to wear clothing that are too revealing.
太过紧的衣服我们不要穿。
Or clothing that are too tight.
太过暴露我们肉体曲线的衣服我们不要穿。
Or clothing that exposes ourselves too much.
因为这些东西是你的丈夫可以欣赏，而不是外人可共享的事情。
But because these things are meant for the husband's eyes and not for others.
我们应当在婚姻、在家庭里面可以满足我们对象、我们的配偶的这个视线跟他肉体的需要。
And within our marriage and our family, we can fulfill the need of our spouse.
这种在正常的婚姻家庭中间，性的享受跟满足是神的恩典。
And it is from the grace of God that we should have normal sexual relationship within a monogamous family.
但是除了我们的丈夫，除了我们的妻子之外，我们还有多余的时间要叫别人也喜欢我们，叫别人也爱上我们，这是邪恶的念头。
But outside of our own spouse, our husband, or our wife, if we want to seduce others, this will be evil.
所以圣经说，我们有圣徒的体统。
And so the Bible says that we ought to have saintly conduct.
我不知道为什么翻译成体统。
I don't know why it is called a conduct.
这里就是一个原则，有一个传统，有一个我们自己应当遵守的一些的条件。
It tells us that there's a tradition, there are some rules that we ought to follow.
美是上帝给人的一个恩典。
Beauty is a grace of God.
美也是撒旦常常试探我们的一个工具。
But beauty also becomes a tool of Satan.
我们把美也放在祭坛的上面。
And so we need to put beauty upon the altar of God.
我们把美跟圣洁联合在一起的时候
，When we link beauty with holiness,
我们就是有智慧的人。
We will then be wise.
我们把美跟自由跟放纵连在一起的时候
，But when we link beauty with decadence and freedom,
我们就开始走偏了路。
Immediately we go on the wrong pathway.
所以求主保守我们。
May the Lord help us all.
帮助我们。
To preserve us all.
以色列家里面有一件丑事。
And within the family of Israel, there was a tragedy.
以色列家有一个失气征召被外邦人奸污的历史。
A scandal where someone was raped by the pagans.
这个污点是没有办法消除。
And this stain was not to be removed.
所以结果爱的结局产生了恨的回报。
And because of love, in the end, there was vengeance of hatred.
性的享受产生了性命的被杀。
And because of the enjoyment of sexuality, the life was taken away.
不但是世间一个人死。
Not only did Shechem died.
整族的人都被杀。
The entire tribe was slaughtered.
这是很可怕的事情。
This is something very horrifying.
许多时候我们以为简单的一件临时享受的这种决定。
Sometimes we think that we make an impulsive decision to enjoy ourselves for the moment.
不过是几分钟的事情。
It's just for a few minutes.
这是小小的事。
Very trivial matter.
不过是我的自由一时的放纵罢了。
I'm just letting my freedom go for a while.
没有想到产生了整个民族 被杀的悲剧出来。
And you would not have realized that the entire tribe could be slaughtered.
所以我们基督徒应当很谨慎，怎样用我们的自由，怎样用我们的意志，怎样保守神给我们每一份的恩典。
And so Christians need to be cautious about the use of our freedom and our will so that we can use the grace of God carefully.
从此以后，民族与民族之间的仇恨就开始了。
And the hatred between the tribes began at that point.
雅各真是没有办法收拾这些突如其来、没有办法预防的悲剧。
And these sudden tragedies were things that Jacob could not have gotten rid of.
雅各也没有办法再挽回他已经被羞辱的女儿的心中的痛苦。
And he certainly cannot recover the pain that his daughter had.
他更没有办法保证这个女儿还有幸福的将来。
And surely he cannot guarantee that the daughter will have a good life.
有许多我们曾经享受过的恩典。
Some of the grace that we once enjoyed.
我们曾经拥有过的福分。
Some of the blessings that we once had.
常常是一去就不回头。
Very often they will go once and never return.
我们应把这些时间的暂时性与阶梯的永恒伤害的这个比例呢，做一个自我警惕。
We need to warn ourselves that there is a relationship between temporal enjoyment and eternal consequences.
在文学，在戏剧里面，
in literature and in drama,
所有的悲剧都是结束于不能挽回的痛苦。
They always have a conclusion, especially in tragedies, on a something that you cannot recover.
就是长久的仇恨，不能挽回的痛苦，都是其一个一时的负流，很简单的放纵产生出来的。
And all this eternal regret, eternal hatred always come from a momentous decision.
一个智慧的人应当在暂时与永恒中间明白圣洁跟心中真正满足的仇报之间的关系。
And so a really wise person would be able to understand the relationship between the temporal decision and the eternal consequence.
我们跟世界的人不同的地方，
We are different from the people of the world.
他们是没有上帝，
They do not have God.
他们或者是没有原则的，
and they live without a principle.
他们道德是没有基础的，
their morality has no basis.
他们所有的思想的智慧都是犯罪以后的理性产生出来，
and all their wisdom are result of the fallen reason.
我们基督徒不同的地方在哪里呢？
But for Christians, we are different.
我们是很神圣的、很严肃的，向创造我们的上帝负责任的人。
We are people that bear responsibility and are accountable to the Creator God.
所以敬畏耶和华就是智慧的开端。
Therefore, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
认识至圣者便是聪明。
And you are wise if you know the Most Holy One.
一个有聪明智慧的人是远离恶事的人。
And so, if you are wise, you will be far away from evil deeds.
这三件事就构成了整个旧约的智慧观念。
These three matters link together and give us the basis of wisdom in the Old Testament.
你把这个原则跟希腊的哲学一比的时候，就天渊之别了。
And when you compare this with Greek philosophy, it is very different.
希腊人是很注重智慧的。
The Greek place great emphasis on wisdom.
所以当一个人研究哲学的时候，他就是渴慕智慧的意思。
When a person studies philosophy, it means he seeks after wisdom.
一个爱智慧的人先承认自己不是智慧。
A person who loves wisdom will first agree that he is not wise.
一个爱智慧的人先知道自己没有智慧。
A person who loves wisdom will first know that he does not have it.
他不是智慧，他又没有智慧，所以他在自己以外寻找外在的智慧。
And precisely because he is not wisdom and he does not have wisdom, he will seek after it.
而智慧既然是外在的，所以我们从里面向外面去求。
And since wisdom is external to us, we need to seek for it.
但是求智慧的本能是内在的，所以我们里面有需要智慧的这种基本要求。
But we must have the basic instinct within us to go seek for it.
所以在这个 Protagoras 的时候，
So in the time of Protagoras,
他都认为每一个自己都有主观性的智慧，是不必跟人家相比的。
He believed that every person has his own sense of wisdom that cannot be compared with others.
对他最厉害的苏格拉底，
Socrates that was his competitor,
就认为智慧不是个别的，也不是主观的，应当是共同的。 应当是共向的，是普世性的。
Believe that wisdom is not individual but universal in nature.
所以智慧不是人自己可以产生出来的。
That wisdom cannot be a product of the human mind.
苏格拉底就不承认他是一个有智慧的人。
And so Socrates does not believe he is wise.
他只能说我是一个爱好智慧的人。
All he could say is that I'm a person who loves wisdom.
所以这个哲学家这个名词就这样产生出来了。
This is where we get the word philosopher.
Philosopher 就是 the one who loves the wisdom.
就是爱智慧的人。
就是 the wisdom lover.
就是智慧的这个爱人。
智慧的爱的好者。
智
慧的寻求者。
Who seek wisdom.
这个叫做哲学家。
This is a philosopher.
那么希腊人也知道智慧跟理性是很结合在一起的。
The Greek believe that philosophy is a wisdom is linked with reason.
我们用智慧来管理我们的感情。
We will use wisdom to rule our emotion.
如果我们的感情不受约束，那就不是智慧。
If our emotions are not constrained, then we are not wise.
感情来保管、来管制我们的性欲。
And emotions are used to control our sexuality.
柏拉图就把性欲在腰中间代表了这个意志的最重要的中心。
And Plato believes sexuality is in the middle of the body and it represents the center of our reason.
感情是在身体的位置上高过腰、高过性的，所以感情就比意志更重要。
And because emotion is thought to be higher than sexuality, so it's more important.
而在人体中间，脑的位置又比心更高。
And because the brain is higher than the heart,
所以呢，希腊人认为智慧跟理性是比感情、比爱情更高一层的文化。
So the Greek believe that wisdom and reason is higher than love and emotion.
所以阿里斯多德说，当你能用你的理性去克制你的感情，再用你的感情去指挥你的性欲的时候，你才是一个真正的智慧的。
Aristotle said, if you are the wise person is able to control his emotion with his mind and his sexuality with his emotion.
那么希腊哲学几百年讨论智慧，结果就是结束在这里。
And the Greeks have studied wisdom for centuries, but that's all they have.
谁是一个智慧人呢？
Who is a wise person?
用理智控制感情，再用感情控制意志跟性欲的人，这个人叫做智慧人。
By that definition, you are able to use your mind to control your emotion, emotion control your sexuality.
那每一个重要的真理的前提，都需要另外一个前提。
But the preface of all truth needs another preface.
所以如果你问希腊人呢，那么谁管制你的头脑的时候，
If you were to ask the Greek, then who will control your reason?
希腊人就没有办法回答了。
The Greek would have no answer.
所以这就是希腊整个哲学的限制。
So this is the limitation of Greek philosophy.
智慧是很重要的。
Wisdom is most important.
智慧是很高超的。
And it is most grand.
一个真正的正人君子。
And so a true gentle person.
就有智慧、公义、节制跟勇敢来建立他的人格。
Will be able to live his life with wisdom, justice, boldness.
这就是希腊理想人格的四大支柱。
And these are the four pillars of an ideal life.
但是呢，智慧在最高的地方是没有人可以控制，没有人可以管理，也不知道从哪里得到启发的。
Because wisdom is thought to be at the highest plane, no one will control it.
苏格拉底的母亲是一个接生婆。
Socrates' mother was a midwife.
所以呢，他就从母亲替人接生的这个经验来明白什么叫做智慧的产生。
And Socrates understood the production of wisdom through the birth process.
一个孩子没有生出来以前，
before a baby is born,
他已经存在了。
He already existed.
他存在了母亲的胎里面，
existing within his mother.
他存在了母亲的子宫里面，
and within the womb of the mother.
那么接生婆是不能产生生命的。
The midwife is not a person that gives birth.
接生婆把已经存在在身体里面的孩子，把他带到身体外面，这叫做生。
What she does is to bring the baby out from the mother to the world.
所以苏格拉底就用这个比喻来描写他自己。
And Socrates used this to illustrate himself.
接生父怎么样把已经在里面怀孕、住院、满期的孩子把他接出来
？How would the midwife deliver a baby?
他根本没有产生生命。
She herself will not produce life.
她把生命引出来。
What she does is to bring it out.
我跟母亲是一样的。
Socrates said, I'm the same as the mother.
母亲是孩童生命的接生婆。
The mother is the midwife of an infant.
苏格拉底说，我是真理的接生婆。
And Socrates said, I am like a midwife of the truth.
所以你里面有真理,
so you have a truth within yourself.
里面有智慧,
you have wisdom.
换一句话说,智慧是与生俱来,本来就包含着人生命的深处的。
In other words, he believed that wisdom is something you are born with.
那我用启发的办法, 把你已经存在这里面的智慧, 把它引出来。
And what I do is to inspire you to draw out the wisdom that's implicit within you.
那么这个工具是什么呢?
And using the tool,
就是用发问刺激你的思想,
of questioning to stimulate your thinking process.
苏格拉底是历史上为发问的方法作为最重要的开始，作为最伟大的一个导师。
Socrates was a teacher that would use questioning as a tool.
所以当他问你 这个名词什么意思的时候,
so if he were to ask you what does this word mean,
你就理所当然的把你本能中间记忆里面惯性作用中间所有的观念就用名词表达出来了。
What you will do is that instinctively you will tell him based on what you already know.
苏格拉底虽然不赞成你的答案,
although Socrates may not agree with your answer,
他不会反对你,
but he will not oppose you.
他就装作傻, 在问你为什么你会这么想呢?
He will just act as if he's ignorant and ask you further, why do you think this way?
然后把你讲不对的地方用矛盾的现象把它指出来, 使你自己没有办法回答,
and show you the contradiction of what you have said.
所以这样呢就把人逼到墙角落,
and then paint you into a corner.
到那个时候你感觉到你真的不知道,
at that time you realize you are quite ignorant.
以为知道的人,
those who think they know a lot,
被逼到不得不承认不知道的时候,
when they are forced to admit that they really do not know,
苏格拉底说那, 这就是你明白真理的开始了。
Socrates would say, this is the beginning of your understanding of the truth.
现在就真正承认你过去是骄傲, 现在你无知的谦卑了。
Now you realize you were arrogant once, now you are ignorant and humble.
所以苏格拉底的知识论是从知道自己无知才会想清楚什么叫做正确的知。
And so for Socrates, when you know that you do not know, that is the beginning of knowing.
他自己以身作则,
and he himself was an example.
当Delphi的神庙里面有一个祭司说, 全希腊最有智慧的人就是苏格拉底的时候,
when a priest in the temple of Delphi said the most wise person in Greece was Socrates,
很多人都认为苏格拉底是大的智慧者,
many people agree that he was a great wise man.
那么他们要知道苏格拉底到底知道什么东西,
they wanted to know what Socrates knew.
苏格拉底的回答说我什么都不知道我只知道一件事罢了。
Socrates said, I know nothing except one thing.
这个跟保罗很像啊,
very similar to the Apostle Paul.
我立志什么都不知道只知道耶稣基督并他钉十字架。
The Apostle Paul says, I'm determined to know nothing except Christ and his cross.
是保罗他唯一 定义要知道的事情就是传福音把它讲出来了。
And so the Apostle Paul was determined to preach the gospel.
但是苏格拉底不是如此。
Not so for Socrates.
苏格拉底你问他说你什么都不知你只知道一件事请告诉我你所知道的唯一的事是什么事。
You would ask Socrates, you said you only know one thing, may I know what this one thing is?
苏格拉底说我什么都不知道我只知道一件事那一件事就是我什么都不知道。
And he said that one thing is, I do not know anything.
所以知识从自认无知的谦卑开始。
And so knowledge comes when you admit your in humility
这是,
that you do not know.
这是西方知识论的一个最重要的开始。
This is the most important beginning of knowledge in the West.
苏格拉底的知识论是从虚己谦卑承认自己不知然后被启发。 引出来的。
And Socrates believed that you must first admit that you do not know anything and then you will draw out the wisdom.
中国的哲学是比较不多谈方法论的。
The Chinese philosophy talks less about matters.
中国的哲学家呢,他教导哲学的时候好像都是以自我早就明白的权威来讲给后一代的人听。
And Chinese philosophers often talk with great authority as if they already knew.
所以呢, 孔子的知识论的方法就是知为知, 不知为不知, 是知也。
So for Confucius, if you know what you already know, you admit you do not know what you do not know, that's true.
这也是很谦卑的一种自己知道自己知什么不知什么。
This is also humility because you are admitting what you know and admitting what you do not know.
那保罗的知识论是更不一样的。
And the Apostle Paul was very different.
苏格拉底讲的我什么都不知只知道一件事就是我什么都不知。
Socrates declared that I do not know anything except one thing and that is I do not know anything.
东方的知识论你知的为知你不知的为不知这就是知。
before the Eastern philosophy, you know what you know, you do not know what you do not know.
你也要知道你所不知道的。
So you need to know what you do not know.
但是呢，这是保罗所讲的知足论很特别。
But Paul had a very special understanding.
若有人以为他自己已经知道什么，按照他所该知道的，他还是不知道。
The Apostle Paul says that if any one of you think that you already know, based on what you should know, you still do not know.
你把这些知识论的大师做一个比较的时候
，If you make a comparison between all these famous people,
你发现在保罗的思想中间留了一个空间。
You realize that the Apostle Paul left behind great room.、
啊、这个空间的罗马书第一章的时候找到了答案。
We find the answer in Romans chapter 1.
上帝的事情人所能知的早已经启示给他们的。
Things relating to God that man can know has already been revealed to us.
还是留着一个空间有一些人不能知的。
It tells us that there are room where we do not know.
所以回到旧约的时候呢
And when we return to the Old Testament,
摩西的生命记29章29节就提了更大的一个答案了。
Moses gave us an answer in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29.
写明的事是属于我们跟我们的子孙的。
Things that are revealed to us belong to us and our descendants.
隐藏的事是属于耶和华的。
But things that are hidden belong to Jehovah God.
中古的教父里面有一派叫做神秘派、神秘主义者。
In the medieval time, there are a group of school of thought, the mysticism.
重要的人有两个。
There are two important teachers.
一个叫做 Jacob Bohme。
The first one is Jacob Bohme.
这个人的比较偏一点。
This person is a bit extreme.
另外一个叫做 Meister Eckhart.
Another one, Meister Eckhart.
除此以外还有 Nicholas Cusa.
And Nicholas Cusa.
也就是说他们感到有一部分的真理是没有办法明白。
They believe that certain portion of the truth are hidden from man.
那个就是神自己不要人知道的事情。
Things that God would not want us to know.
这句话的正面的表达就是人的理性是有限的。
Positively, it means that our reason is limited.
这句话另外一边的意思，人心里面直觉的明白是神给的。
And another meaning tells us that what we can know are revealed by God.
所以讲基督教的知识论是神做出发点。
And so in Christian understanding, God is the initiator.
基督教有神的隐藏性。
We also believe that God is hidden in some ways.
Hiddenness of God.
The hiddenness of God.
好像月亮永远把一面照着我们，在对着我们公转的时候，它根本没有自转。
Like we can only see one side of the moon as it circles around us.
站在地球上的人用肉眼看月亮，永远没有办法看见另外的一边。
When we are on earth and we are observing the moon, we can never see the other side of the moon.
神把自己向我们启示这一面的时候，我们能知道神的隐藏性的那一面是我们永远没有办法知道的。
And God has chosen to reveal to us things that we can understand, but His hiddenness are not something we can understand.
启示跟已经赐下的本能，或者说呢，神自己特别启示跟神的普遍启示之间是有分界的。
And so there is a gap between the general revelation of God and His special revelation.
那么把希腊的哲学，把犹太的智慧，把基督教所了解的，把它相比较之下的时候
，When we compare between the Greek, the Hebrews, and the Christian,
你有无限的兴趣在里面，兴趣在里面可以好好去发挥出来。
You will find great interest in great profound understanding.
旧约犹太的智慧观就跟刚才所提的有一些不同的地方。
And in the Old Testament, the concept of wisdom is different.
智慧是从敬畏上帝产生开端的。
And wisdom comes from the fear of God.
不是从自我认知无知产生开始的。
Not from this admission of ignorance.
因为你知道自己无知，认识自己的无知，才是知识的开端。
If wisdom starts because you admit that you're ignorant,
但是你怎么会认识你自己呢？
How would you first know?
只有在圣经里面可以看见，只有你认识上帝，你才能认识你自己。
The Bible tells us that we can only know ourselves when we know God.
所以认识神是认识自己的基础。
And so knowing God is the basis of knowing self.
认识自己的无知才是知识的开始。
And when we know our own ignorance, that's the beginning of wisdom.
圣经把最高的原则提出来了。
The Bible therefore gives us the highest principle.
苏格拉底没有发现的。
Something that Socrates did not find out.
敬畏耶和华是智慧的开端。
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
对上帝的敬畏就产生了对上帝圣洁本性的认识。
The reverence towards God means that we understand His holiness.
全本圣经前头一致的事情就是智慧跟道德是没有办法分开的。
The entire Bible consistently tells us that wisdom cannot be segregated from morality. We can have knowledge from the nature. These are all part of general revelation of God. But wisdom gets its real illumination from the holiness of God. Nature cannot tell us about the attribute of God.
对上帝道德本性的了解，只有透过神自我启示的特殊的真理的表达，我们才能明白。We
can only understand the morality of God through His special revelation.
神的启示就变成必定要有、绝对不可缺乏的我们的知识跟智慧的源头。Therefore,
the revelation of God certainly will become the beginning of our wisdom.
不但如此
，Not only that，
你认识至圣者。
To know the Most Holy One,
不是停在你的知识的方位,
it's not just a matter of knowledge,
要化成你的行为,
it must be part of your action.
远离恶事的人才是聪明,
and so those who are far away from evil will be wise.
这三件事配合起来的时候,
when you link all three together,
敬畏耶和华,
to fear God,
也认识他的圣洁,
to know His holiness,
你行在生活中远离恶事,
to act in your life and be far from evil,
你才真正最有智慧的。
Then you can truly be wise.
这样，希腊人的智慧就完全不能跟圣经所讲的智慧相比了。Great
wisdom, therefore, cannot be compared with biblical wisdom.
到耶稣基督到世界上来的时候，When
Jesus Christ was on earth,
我们从约翰的身上看见，We
see from the life of John,
就是在上帝怀中的独生子向我们显明出来。
That He is the Son of God revealed to us.
他就是从永恒的上帝的本体的真光中间发出来，光照人心的那一个光。
He is the true light that came from God, illuminating all of us.
所以到了阿塔纳修的时代，
and when we reach the time of Athanasius,
从神出来的神，
God from God,
从光出来的光，
the light from light,
他就是真理的上帝所启示我们的道的本体。
He is the word from God of truth.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
这样我们在全本圣经里面看见了世人的思想，世人的哲学历史里面没有办法看见的智慧。
From the Bible, we see wisdom that cannot be found in human wisdom.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
这一位智慧的源头呢？
The source of wisdom
是向人启示的上帝。
Is a God who would willingly reveal Himself to us.
亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各就变成这么重要。
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob therefore became important.
上帝是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的上帝。
Because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
这句话经过了3000多年以后，
over 1,000 years later，
在一次在法国人的宗教经验里面产生了一个共鸣。
There was an understanding among the French.
那就是呢，叫做 Blaise Pascal的这个人。
Among this French person by the name of Pascal.
如果不错，他是在1654年吧。
It's probably in the year of 1654.
某一天的晚上，
on a particular night,
记载上帝给他一个很特别的一个光照。
He wrote down an illumination that came from God.
神给他的感动，使他写下一段的话，是非常令人惊奇的。
And God inspired him to write a passage that was most astonishing.
那一天也变成他整个心归向上帝的一个最重要的。
And it became a milestone for him because he gave his heart to God on that night.
使他后来变成Jansenism.
And he created Jansenism.
他完全反对天主教错误的教义.
Was against the Roman Catholic teachings.
专为真理做辩道的一个改教的一个人士.
And he was part of the reform movement fighting for the truth.
当时法国人对在法国的 归正教徒的逼迫是非常无情、残忍、不人道的。
There were cruel persecution for reformers back then.
特别在 Saint Bartholomew的日子里面，
especially during the days of Saint Bartholomew，
法国的王帝欺骗了10000多的基督徒，请他们吃大餐，对他们宣布新教跟天主教共享宗教自由的人权。
The Emperor of France deceived all the Protestants and invited them to a big banquet. So more than 10,000 people came to attend the banquet.
许可人宗教自由了。
They were joyous because they believed the emperor gave them religious freedom.
结果是一个骗局。
But it was a trick.
但是他们吃喝感谢上帝有宗教自由的欢乐中间。
In the midst of the banquet when they were giving thanks to God,
王宫的御军就来围绕他们，把他们活活烧死。
The army from the palace surrounded all of them and burned them all to death.
所以十多万的人同时被烧光。
More than 10,000 people were slaughtered.
能够逃的就逃了。
Those who could escape did so.
我不好意思讲一句话。
I'm embarrassed to say this.
那一天开始，法国从来不能产生最伟大的、最精细的、最好的质量的工业品。
From that time onwards, France no longer produced anything that's of any precision.
所以最伟大的工匠。最慎重、最敬业的人都跑到日内瓦去，变成改教徒，离开天主教的地。
And the greatest craftsmen, the most precise workmen, all went to Geneva to become a reformed Protestant.
后来那些要复位这些真正顺从真理、敬畏上帝的人起来。
And there are people who wanted to defend these people who feared God.
其中有一个叫做 Blaise Pascal.
And one of them would be Blaise Pascal.
这个人太大的天才。
Pascal was a great genius.
Pascal 的理论，你们读过数学的都知道。
All mathematicians would have heard of his name.
他十几岁就发明了人类历史中间第一个计算机。
And when he was a teenager, he already invented a calculator.
Pascal 他的哲学思想都在他的《明思录》里面。
And Pascal's philosophical thoughts have all been recorded.
后来变成西方思想界里面最重要的著作之一。
One of the most important writings in Western literature.
我要讲的那一天晚上他的经历。
I want to tell you about that particular experience.
他怎么讲呢
？He says,
神感动他。
God inspired him.
给他很大的光照。
To give him great illumination.
是他师父领受的启示一样。
As if he has received revelation.
叫他写下一句话。
That he was right.
亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的上帝。
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
不是哲学家的上帝。
It's not a God of the philosopher.
也不是科学家的上帝。
It's not a God of the scientist.
他那一天写下了好几次，耶稣啊，我爱你。
He wrote down many times, Jesus, I love you.
你一定要集中你的思想思考基督。
You must focus your mind to think about Christ.
他说，我们心所维系，使我们永远的依靠真正的源头。
He says that our hearts should be tied back to the eternal source.
我热爱我的耶稣。
I love my Jesus.
直到死的地步。
Till I'm willing to die.
那亲爱的弟兄姊妹。
Dear brothers and sisters.
因为哲学家思考的上帝是以人堕落的理性作为中心的智慧。
The God that a philosopher could imagine would be a result of his fallen reason.
科学家的知识是被造界里面归纳出来的被造的真理。
But the knowledge of the scientist comes from the created world, a created truth.
亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的上帝。
But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
不是人的头脑想出来的上帝。
It's not a God that is a product of human imagination.
不是自然界里面可以发现的上帝。
Or a God that can be discovered.
你对所有自然界一切的知识，不过是受造界的知识。
Because all knowledge in nature are just knowledge of the created world.
你有人堕落以后的思想是想出了上帝，不过是理性的产品。
And the God that can come about from your reason are just product of the fallen reason.
Pascal 还有一句很重要的话。
Another important quotation from Pascal.
The heart has its own reason, which reason does not know.
心有他自己的理性，是自己的理性所不知道的。
心有心之理。非理之理所知之理。
The heart has a reason that your own reason cannot understand.